Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of the Rejected Writers Book Club. Hi everyone, today in our podcast we have S.J. Herman. He is an indie author and an artist from the Chicago area. He writes paranormal, science fiction, horror and urban fantasy novel. Now his first two novels in the Morium trilogy have great reviews on Amazon. He recently released a short story collection, Splintered Love. Welcome, S.J.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so excited. So the Morium series, we're very excited to talk to you about that. Thank you so much for joining us today. So what I'd love to start with is just tell us, Morium is like a YA paranormal story. Give our listeners just an overview of the storyline for that, would you?
Sure. The Morium trilogy is three books that centers around two teenagers, Lexi and Nathan, who are in their last year of high school, but have been bullied for most of their lives. They come across some rocks, meteorites that fall one night, and it gives them supernatural abilities and also the ability to strike back at the people who torment them. And I wanted to give a sense, what would your morals be if you had the power to strike back? What would you do?
Wow, that's so interesting.
They each have their own personal problems at home as well. Lexi, the female character, she lost her mom about a year before the story starts. And the only way she knows how to deal with this, and her father is unemployed, so the only way she knows how to deal with this is by cutting herself and taking self-harm to relieve the pain she feels on the inside. And Nathan, his parents are never home. They always work at the restaurant that's downtown. And so they're never home. So he's left to stew with all this anger inside of him by himself. And Stacy is another character, and they form this group, and they only have each other to lean on. So, and Stacy's kind of like the outsider. She deals with it by lashing back, talking back to her bullies. So I got like a wide variety in those three characters.
Yeah, that's really neat. I love how you've included bullying. It's a pretty hot topic right now, and I think since it's a YA book, it's really giving them some tools. You know, a kid who's had bullying happen to them to have these magical powers. So it's that whole retribution, but then you've thrown in the morals of it. Are you going to, you know, use these powers just to be angry and, you know, hurt people, or are you going to use them with a moral conscience? So very good. I like it.
Thank you.
And I was going to actually say the same thing. I'm thinking of it. Have you found that you've had a lot of response from the readers about the bullying part aspects of your work?
Yes, they really find it interesting in how I mesh the science fiction in with the bullying and make a good concept of the story. Now, as the story goes along, like in Dark Horizons, the bullying is still there, but it also deals with other subjects like addiction and abuse. So I kind of move on different topics as the story goes along. Topics that teenagers nowadays sometimes face.
Now, that's wonderful. I think that's really interesting. So you've had people actually write to you and say, hey, thank you for writing this book. I'm bullied. Have you had anything of that kind of response?
I've had a couple where they say, you know, my child was a cutter. So that really impacts them. And how Lexi becomes stronger as the series goes along and overcomes her adversities for now.
Cool, that's wonderful. Help us understand how you create that world of Morium. Do you plan out the magic before you wrote the story, or are you kind of like go by the seat of your pants, you know? How did you do that?
With Morium, I started it about a year before I actually started writing it. It was originally concepted to be a graphic novel, so I basically have the entire thing mapped out on a notebook. The whole story is mapped out.
Now, did you do, like, pictures and stuff? You're an artist. Is that part of the concept?
No, I just wrote it all down. I have a terrible time doing human forms, so that's out of my realm right there.
That's not your skill set. I'm the same way. I can draw sunsets, but don't make me draw people.
Yeah, I can draw an awesome stick figure. That's about it.
That's perfect.
That's my drawing skill right there. I'm pretty good. I could do four types of stick figures.
Now,
Mama, and the baby.
And the dog and the cat.
The dog and the cat. Like the ones that go on the bumper stickers on the back of people's cars.
Right.
That's
funny. So are you still doing a graphic novel then for Morium? It sounds like a good subject matter for that. I can picture it with the dark fantasy and the teen angst and all that.
Yeah, actually, I am starting that right now. It is in the works. So I am writing out the last book of the Morium trilogy, Terminus, while also starting writing the graphic novel.
Ah. And it's the same. You'll do the same three books in the trilogy, but as a graphic novel. Is that right?
Right. With slight adjustments as it goes along. So it will not follow the book exactly, but we'll still have the same theme.
Ah, that's cool. So they're not necessarily a companion piece. It's more just more in the Morium trilogy or the brand. Is that what you're doing?
Right. Well, I would say maybe 80% will follow the books, while the other 20% will be different.
Right. Yeah, because you've got a different format. The graphic novel will have to have a little bit more. Maybe action right. sequencing. And
that's what's tough, because in a graphic novel, you have to show the emotions instead of writing it. And that's the toughest part.
That's a little bit like Suzanne is a screenwriter. So it's very similar that in a screenplay, you don't have the words to convey it. You have to convey it with, you know, what you can see, right, Suzanne?
Right, yeah, it's all pictures. It is so similar to the way that you have to plan it. Had you always planned it to be three books, or was that the plan from the beginning, or is that the way it sort of turned out?
It was always planned as a three-book series.
And this is your first series, right?
Yes.
Oh, wow, well, that's good, because apparently three-book is the way to go, I've been told. So, well done, right from the beginning.
Thank you.
So kind of moving on a little bit here, because we want to talk about something that we were doing some research, obviously, on you like we do. And we went to your site and we couldn't believe that you had a Rafflecopter running with 35,000 people that had hit on it. And we were like, OK, how on earth did he manage that?
Well, I'm actually part of it. That's somebody else that's running it. I'm just a part of it.
Ah.
I'm part of a group of fantastic authors who got together to give away some prizes and.
So how does that work? So you all put the Rafflecopter on your site, and then you all add a prize? Is that how you do that?
Exactly. Like, I've given away all three of my books.
Right.
And there'll be other prizes. My grand prize is $175 of PayPal money.
I saw that. That's very appealing.
That's fabulous. And what's interesting to me, in case our listeners don't know what Rafflecopter is, we'll just give you a quick overview, and we will put a link for this. It's a way of encouraging people to click on links, Facebook posts, or, you know, to follow you. And the incentive is, if you click on the more you click on, the more chances you have of winning money or books or whatever it is. And you can just put those on your site, which is great for authors who are maybe trying to build a Facebook following or those kind of things. And so I'm really interested in the way of doing this. So are you part of this group for other things, or is it just for the Rafflecopter you do that?
It's just for the Rafflecopter.
And are they all similar authors?
There's a wide variety of them from different genres.
Oh, I think that's great. I think that's a really wonderful way to group together like that. So well done for doing that. So when does that actually finish? Is that coming up soon? Or
I believe that ends Halloween.
Oh, wow. So you've run it for quite a while.
Plenty of time.
Tell us a little bit, Steve, about your actual writing process. Are you, do you write in the morning? Do you write at night? How do you set your writing time out? How do you stick to that?
Well, actually, you know, I'll sit down with the bottle of Jack Daniels next to me, and I'll just keep writing until I lift my head off the keyboard. I wrote like 1,000 pages of FFF and SF. No.
can I just clarify? You write with a bottle of Jack Daniels?
No, actually, I got a cup of coffee next to me. Okay. With Jack Daniels in it. But
right, yeah, exactly. Well, Jack Daniels to the mix, magic happens.
The writing becomes so much better after time.
Facts, yeah. I just didn't expect that. So you sit there with your cup of coffee, and do you write in the morning, or do you write for a set amount of time?
Whenever I have time, I'll sit down and write as much as I can.
And how much in a week do you think you probably get done? Do you get sort of a page done? I mean, I know it obviously varies, because you're actually working as well, so.
Right. And plus, I go to school. I'm getting my associate's in web graphic design.
Wow, great.
Nice.
Well done.
So time is limited, but this weekend I wrote probably about 3,000 words in 2 days.
Wow. Wow, well done.
Thank you, but usually 1,000 a week if I'm lucky.
Right. And do you have your book sort of already paced out? Do you know where it's going to be going, so you just need to write? Or are you still sort of figuring the story out as you go?
What I start with a bunch of index cards, and I write each chapter idea down on them. And then I line all the cards up in a way that I think the story will flow the best.
Right.
Not that pages, but that's how I start.
And that just means that if you have a couple of weeks where you don't get to write, at least you can just pick up that index card and you know, okay, I'm writing this scene. And do you write at home? Would you go out to a coffee shop? Or how do you do that?
Home,
yeah.
School, library.
Wherever
anywhere
you can.
I can take my laptop.
Ah, that's good.
Fabulous.
Now, once you get the index cards all sorted and everything, do you just do chapter by chapter, or do you do it more like inspirational where you have, you know, an idea and you got to go tackle that portion of it? Are you sequential, or do you kind of mix it up?
I keep it in order. As if I'm writing and something comes in my head going, well, that could be better, I'll change it, which means I may have to change something else on an index card further back.
Right. So it's very, so, sounds very organized, yeah. Very linear. It's cool.
Yeah, I think it helps, particularly if some of, I know a lot of people don't, like you don't get a lot of time. So I think people are struggling with that who are listening, they'll appreciate just tips on that and what the way you kept on track with that. Because it is hard when you sit down with a blank page, you can't remember where you ended up. But if you've got a card, at least you've got somewhere to start for the next chapter, which is a really good idea.
And if I get an idea, I'll just jot it down on a new card and rearrange and do the whole thing over again.
Yeah, it's actually, I don't do that with my book. Well, I do a little bit with my books, but I definitely do that with screenplays because they're really tight. And you have to really, almost by page, you have to know what's going on. So that's really amazing. And now, I also know you're an artist.
Yes.
What took you to the dark side of writing?
Well, you know, I figured that being a starving artist wasn't good enough, so I had to move over to being a starving writer. And I don't know, I think it's just the creative mind. That's always going. I said, I want to try something new. I had this story I wanted to tell. And
did you have it for a while, or was this one that just came up? How did you get the inspiration for it?
I think it all started, the rumblings in my head, when I saw the documentary Bully.
Ah.
And then I kind of started thinking about it. And I started to have little scenes in my head to play out.
Wow. That's and I've not actually seen that movie. Was that a while ago that you saw that?
3 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been, Morium's been in the plans for quite a while.
That's wonderful.
I've seen on your bios and things that you had bullying when you were younger, too. So is some of this kind of based on your own experiences?
Yeah, some of the stories that Nathan goes through actually happened to me while I was in high school.
Wow.
And some of the things that Lexi goes through, I heard about while I was in high school. I wanted to get, having the emotional pull to the characters is very important when writing the story. And I wanted to put some of my experience into my characters. So Lexi, Nathan, and Stacy all have a bit of me in them.
Right.
And so does Lexi's father, Robert. He's got a little bit of me in it. So.
Now, that's a good question, too. We've talked to some other authors about how they created their characters. So you're saying they're part of them is you. Do you wrap somebody else around there, or do you kind of fictionalize the rest?
I fictionalize the rest.
Right. Oh, that's cool.
I mean, there's part of me, when I wrote it, you know, when you think back about it, yes, part of me wanted revenge against them, but yet part of me wanted to understand why they were like that. So that's why I was able to split the two personalities apart, and Lexi and Nathan.
Right, right. Well, and it sounds like a good mixture, too. You've got girls and guys that are going through various things, so you're kind of hitting a lot of different teen issues. And now, have you found that a lot of your readership, are they adults? Is it a lot more youth? Is it a good mixture, or is there any way to
tell? A lot more adults are reading it.
Interesting. Now, why do you think that is?
Oh, that's interesting, too.
What? How do you account for that?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Well, that's a honest answer. Well, I think part of it is you do a lot of ebooks. I don't know if there's as many kids that do the ebooks. I know that my kids started to, and then they, you know, they kind of go back and forth between whether they like, you know, hold something in their hand or, you know, easier to take an electronic around with them. So maybe part of it is that. I know. Do you have your books also in paperback as well, right?
Yes, they are in paperback.
Yeah.
In fact, both copies of Morium are in the Elk Grove Village Public Library.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Have you ever thought about putting it into school libraries and getting it started along those lines?
I have thought about it, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, and it may be something that, like school counselors, that, you know, kids that are going through bullying, it might be a story that could at least spark them to, you know, that there's other people that have this issue, and, you know, make them feel like that they could start talking about some of their bullying issues. Okay, so I know that you're on social media. That's how I met you, through Twitter. Can you give us some of your most successful social media tips?
Communicate.
Right.
Get involved with your retweeters. Almost can say that there. Once they see that you're really involved and interested in what they're doing, they'll become interested in what you're doing, and you just grow it from there.
Right. So it's the one-on-one interaction. It's not just, you know, pushing your book out there. You're actually talking to the people that you're that retweet you and that follow.
Right. Right. I mean, I'm just not pushing my book. I push other people's books, and I also follow artists. Oh. I comment on their work.
Right. That's a good way to do it. Now you're on Twitter and Facebook. Are you also Pinterest, Instagram, and all those other more visual ones?
Instagram and Pinterest. I'm not quite there yet. I am visible there, but not as much as Twitter and Facebook.
So you don't spend a lot of time. What about G+ or LinkedIn? Are you?
G+, yes.
Suzanne and I keep talking about this. I don't exactly know what to do at G+. I submit things through Buffer. Through there, like the same things I put in other places. But have you any secrets for us about how G+ works, or how you get interaction on there, or is it more just investing your time?
I don't know. If anybody finds out, let me know.
That's how we feel.
I totally hear you there.
It's like, I like it.
It's like a ghost town. It's a Facebook ghost town.
Well, I mean, I have a bunch of people that follow me over there, and I just forget about it, partly because I don't interact. It's a lot of the same people that I see in other places, so... I don't know. There must be some secret. Someday, Suzanne, we will find the person who knows, and we'll have this magical tip. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we'll turn a corner, and there all the people will be.
They'll be
like a rainbow, you know?
Yeah, like a rainbow. I saw a rainbow this morning, by the way. Just throwing out
there. Nice.
Okay, so.
We'll go over some G+ hills, and they'll be there.
You know what that makes me think of? This is so weird. Did either of your kids ever watch the Teletubbies, where you've got those beautiful green rolling hills?
Yeah, I love the Teletubbies. That's how I learned German.
What?
Really?
Wait.
Yeah, well, because the German they dubbed the Teletubbies into German in Germany. Teletubbies said everything slowly and twice, so that's how I learned German while I was there.
I have got to YouTube that. I need to see Teletubbies speaking German. That is a hilarious
What is in your Tasha Tinky Binky?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. All right, that's my project this afternoon.
It was totally at my level.
All right, we'll say something in German.
Tinky Winky would have gone shopping more. That's all I'm saying.
Can you say something in German Teletubby for us, Suzanne? Seriously.
I just did. Was is in die Tasche, Tinky Winky?
We want to know what that means.
What is in your bag, Tinky Winky?
Oh, that's awesome. You have so many skills I don't even know about, Suzanne.
Yeah, I could order chicken in 5 languages. I'll do that one day.
Chicken. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, from Teletubbies to roller coasters, Steve, I see on your site, it says that in your bio that you like roller coasters. Can you tell us about how you got interested in that and which one is your favorite?
I think I really got into it, but there was a roller coaster at Six Flags Great America out here that I really wanted a t-shirt to wear. And my mom would not buy me that shirt until I actually went on the roller coaster.
So it's her fault.
So I had to go on it. And ever since then, I've been hooked.
Ah, that's
And I got the t-shirt.
And you got the t-shirt. Now,
you're not still wearing it, are you, Steve?
That might be a little too tight on me now.
That's hilarious. And so have you, like, gone around the country and tried all these different ones, or is this just something that you enjoy doing in your free time?
I just enjoy doing it in my free time.
Right. It's not like your quest to go on them all or something.
No, maybe when I hit the lotto. Yeah, but not now.
The last one I went on was at Universal Studios Orlando, and it's called The Hulk. And I took my nephew, who was 15 at the time, I took him to do, you know, all these different things. And I used to like roller coasters. I just hadn't been on them since I'd had kids. You know, it's just one of the things when you have little kids, you just don't go on them because they can't and they don't want to. So I went on it with him, and I think I almost died for like a millisecond as we were upside down about to do, you know, it goes really slow up. I blacked out. And the worst part of the whole thing, okay, that I blacked out, and then I was holding on so tight, I think I was screaming, but I couldn't tell because I was just too terrified. The worst part was after you do like the fifth loop-de-loop, and I'm just like, oh, okay, whatever, at this point, something splashed me, and I'm sure to this day that it was someone had vomited, and it was like spreading all over the place. So that was my last one.
I'm glad you shared that story with thousands of people.
I know. I know. I'm classy that way.
I think you're safe because they have water spouts at the end. I think you're safe.
So they spray you with germicide at the end.
Yeah, that's it.
But, you know, it didn't recreate the love. The part of that I found in the last couple brokers I went on have been that they're kind of violent. The couple, I can't remember, there was one at King's Dominion in Virginia that it was so violent that afterwards it like took all the fun out of it. So I don't know if that's like a new trend or maybe that was an accident. I don't know. But
I'm expecting the love on something called the Hulk.
Well, that was my nephew's fault. Yeah, exactly. What the heck was I thinking? But I did enjoy it. At the end, I was so exhilarated. You know, the feeling you get afterwards is just like this rush. So I get it.
Right. It is an adrenaline rush once you get off.
Yeah. And you survived and, you know, all that stuff coursing through your veins, you know, I get it. Okay. So, Steve, what are you working on now? We know you're working on the graphic novel. And once you're done with that, do you have another series? Are you thinking about a different genre? What is your, what are you working on?
I have another book in mind after Terminus. So I do have one in mind for my next book.
Is it the same genre?
Yes.
So it's YA dark fantasy type thing?
I don't think it will not be young adult.
Okay.
But it will be science fiction.
Cool. All right. So
can you share anything about it? Or is it all top secret at the moment?
It's top secret.
Okay.
Interesting.
Then you'd have to kill us. Okay. So we won't do that.
Now, are you creating worlds? Is this like a little piece of magic or is this like an entire sci-fi realm that you're creating?
All right. I'll give you a little bit of information. It centers around another small town.
Oh. Okay. Cool. Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Yeah, don't see you giving anything away there, Steve. We're good.
Not what they appear to be.
Yeah, well, that doesn't sound very science fiction-y. What?
Particularly as my book is around a small town, it's comedy crazy ladies, so it could be that one, but it's not.
I doubt that's what Steve's writing somehow.
The rejected men's group.
The rejected... I seriously don't. So, Steve, I understand that you wrote a short story collection called Splintered Love. Can you tell us about that?
It's a collection of short stories, paranormal romance. A couple of the stories do have erotic content in them. And it just deals with various aspects of love and not all the stories have a happy ending to them.
So it's a dark fantasy, romantic, supernatural. How many expletives can we put on there?
There's 5 rehab erotic content.
Okay. And so this is a collection of the 5 short stories, and they all kind of have the common theme. That's really neat.
Yes.
And is that, that's up on Amazon as well? Did you have that for free for a while, or is that, how are you setting that up?
I did. It's 99 cents, free with Kindle Unlimited. And I did have it free a couple of weeks ago.
Right, when it first released, right. All right, cool. Everyone run out and check out Splintered Love. It's only a buck. It's actually less than a buck. And we'll have SJ's other links for the Morium trilogy and his website and everything else up on our show notes. So, okay. Well, okay. So are we ready for the lightning round? Or Suzanne, is there something else you wanted to ask?
No, I think that's great. Let's go to the lightning round.
Okay. So the rules of the lightning round is just you can't think too hard about it. You just have to, off the top of your head, answer it. And they're nothing hard. So... And if there's something you don't want to answer, just say pass. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a hard one. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
And do you write in silence or do you listen to music?
Both.
And what kind of music?
Classic rock.
Ah, check you out. Okay. What did you want to be growing up?
Firefighter.
Oh, did you ever get to do that?
No.
No volunteer or nothing?
No, unfortunately not. I wanted to become a firefighter because of the TV show Emergency.
Oh, that's funny. Is there a book that you could read every year?
Oh, The Stand.
The Stand. Oh, that's a good one. Dog or cat?
Both.
Both. At the same time. What author would you most like to have dinner with, either alive or dead?
Stephen King.
Ah, and he's still alive. You have a chance for that one.
Yeah.
What is your favorite vacation spot?
Cedar Point.
Ooh, nice. What is your favorite book genre to read?
Supernatural, paranormal.
Ah, is there a particular book? I have Stephen King, I'm assuming.
Yes.
The Stand?
Oh.
Is that your favorite book, or is there...
Yeah, that's my favorite book.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Actually, it was Christine that got me into Stephen King.
Christine. Do you write best in the morning or at night?
Night.
Night. And if money was no object, where would you live?
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Really? Nowhere, Illinois? Or
Illinois.
I've been to Illinois. There are several Nowhere, Illinois.
Oh, there's plenty of them.
Yeah, just you got to get away from Chicago. But what is your favorite comfort food?
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers. Yum.
Yum.
Do you have a nickname?
I used to be called Stretch.
Stretch. Are you really tall?
6'4".
See, there you go. Had to be. I've been calling you SJ and Steve for the interview. So readers, I apologize. Steve, or listeners, he gave me permission to call him Steve. And so I've kind of interchanged them, and I apologize. I'm bad. Okay, last question. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Beach. Yay. That works for me.
You did good.
Yes. Good answer.
Yeah, you did. Because sometimes the authors, they talk for a little bit, but you were good. You were right in there.
Yes. He was the quick answer guy. Sometimes we get long diatribes about lost pets and things.
Which we sympathize with.
Yes. Usually they're sad.
Not for the lightning round.
Not for the lightning round. Right, exactly. Okay, so Steve, is there something that we should have asked you that you wanted to talk about?
Just support your indie author. There's plenty of excellent writers out there that deserve to be seen.
Yes. And so tell us some ways they can support us indie authors.
Retweet, share. Yes, reviews. Definitely reviews are the author's best friend.
Right. And what that means is people go to Steve's, SJ's Amazon page, his Barnes & Noble page, and if you've read his book, write something nice about it, or, you know, hopefully you liked it and did a, you know, give him a 5-star.
Or rip me a new one.
But the crucial part that we're just not asking for reviews as indie authors. We want honest reviews. I want people to say what they thought. I can learn a lot from what they didn't like as much as I can learn from what they like.
Exactly. You may not like it, but in the long run, it will help.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I think it's important to also say at this point that not everybody knows this, but within Amazon, there's like a tier system. Like the more reviews you get, the more they actually advertise your book or they put your book out there.
Exactly.
So actually, it's not just about ego. It's not like, oh, I need to know I'm a good writer. It's also a marketing for us. It really helps if people do that because it gets our book more sold through Amazon, which is what we're, of course, we would love, you know,
absolutely,
our books to more people. So, yeah, and people often get stumped with the reviews. They go, it took me 2 hours to write your review. I'm like, why? You can write 4 sentences. It doesn't have to be, you know, a whole life story. Seriously, 4 sentences is good.
Right.
You know, that's all I need, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, either this book was excellent or this book blows, you know.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, it doesn't even have to be 4 sentences. Some of my better reviews have just been, you know, I couldn't put the book down or things like that. That just something really quick as well, as long as for me, I just want it to be honest. I don't want people to like, you know, hey, I left you a nice review because I thought you were, you know, a nice lady or whatever. I want it to be an honest review because that means so much more to somebody who's trying to go read the book. If you, you know, falsify it and then they're disappointed in it, that's what I don't want. Someone, you know, getting the wrong thing. So
that's the end of our interview. Thank you so much for joining us today, SJ. And don't forget, all of the links will be on our website. You can look, you can learn all about Steve and some of the things we've talked about. And we're really glad you joined us today, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Had a great time.
Great.
Thanks. Catch y'all next week.
Please join us next week where we welcome Andrea Hurst, who is Suzanne's agent, and she talks about what agents look for and what you can do to attract an agent.
You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.